Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Motherfucking mini-episode. Mini-episode. Motherfucking mini-episode.
Ain't nothing going on but the money and power. Too many niggas out here count. They be saving the hoes. They be buying them clothes. But a nigga like me cannot go. Welcome, little mamas and Gentiles alike, to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me,
the podcast where we dive deep, deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories.
And we finally work to prove the conspiracies of you, the listeners. It's another motherfucking mini episode. I'm David Bory.
I'm Langston Kerman, and we're so happy you sweet baby boos have decided to tune in. We're so happy that we get to unpack your many, you all are prolific in your conspiracy theory ring.
Come on.
You Come send on. Us emails constantly, so too many for us to manage at this point,
really?
Which is really exciting. And we do not complain about that one bit. Mm-hmm. And we hope the emails keep coming. And today we got an email that we've wanted to talk about, I would say, for a little while now.
The topic was so great. We could not stop. And we just were really waiting for the perfect time to slow down and unpack this whole thing.
Yeah, you really want to give yourself a little bit of wiggle room to ask the right questions with this subject, I would say.
Because I think a lot of times, I think we feel the same way. It's the subject line that gets us. So if you want to get on subject line, that's how you got to do it.
I think that's right. I think very often a provocative subject line can sometimes supersede what inevitably becomes an idiotic email.
Exactly.
Sometimes they're truly dumb, and we had no business even reading the nonsense you sent us, but you hooked us right away with the subject line. And I'm not sure that this one's any different, but it got us from the beginning.
Listen, I think at the end of the day, you have to understand that Langston and myself are both firmly planted in the millennial time zone, and that we will not read full articles. We will skim the tops and then tell our friends. That's who we are.
Let's be clear. You at home are the onion, and we are only here for the taglines, baby. That's it.
I don't give a shit about the real news. I keep my opinions up enough to just keep people's back off my back at like a party.
Yeah, I think that's right. I want to be in a way where if a subject comes up, I can throw in a thought and then walk away from that conversation.
And then go, and then you'll find me at the deviled eggs. Let's say.
Yeah. That's it. Are you at a lot of parties with deviled eggs? Is that happening?
Yeah, lately it has actually been coming up. Like, because we had some on Easter, and I was like, damn, these are good as fuck. And then at Easter, I was like, the last 3-4 times I had deviled eggs, they weren't good. And then it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you not?
I'm not at it often enough. I wouldn't say that that's a frequent thing that's happening. I am at a a lot of parties with food, but I feel like a deviled egg party is as a step further into like sort of the food party of it all.
You know what I think it is too, is that LA's not a deviled egg city, bro.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
Nobody's bringing I live in Denver, man. Somebody's going to think it was a good idea. You know what I mean? I still go to parties where people bring like a bunch of Taco Bell or some shit.
Yeah, I feel like in LA, deviled eggs are too offensive to too many potential palates.
100%.
That you don't even bring that because who's going to want it kind of vibes. Exactly.
You know what else LA parties don't have? Punch. I ain't been to one punch party the 6 years I lived in Los Angeles, not one punch party.
Yeah, it's because we're all pretending to have money we don't have.
Yeah, it's like, just get some 7-Up, get some sherbet, let's have a good time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Relax, bring the punch back. Summer 2024, bring the punch back, y'all.
Yeah, come on. I'm trying to see some Sprite with a little bit of foam on top. What's up?
It's the best drink. And if you guys got punch recipes, honestly, send them in because I'm entertaining this summer. I'm having lots of food parties.
Oh, nice.
That's my plan.
Crib, or are you taking this to like public spaces?
At the crib. I'm in the park a lot because of, I don't want to bring it back up as much as I did last year, but obviously, you know, I have the boats, so I'm grilling in the park a lot.
You have the boats, I hope more race wars to
at some
to
point
facilitate.
Yeah, definitely race wars is coming back up at the end of the summer, obviously. You know, I like to watch people race. It's like running and racing and fighting are the two things you're going to watch no matter what the context.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You know what I mean? It's always fun.
Always, always exciting to see somebody lose. Always excited to see someone get punched in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Also, always exciting to pit races against each other in tests of strength.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Always.
Yeah.
That's how boxing works, right?
It is fun. I'll be honest. I've had a hard time with the results lately. I don't love the ratio of how our race is doing as it goes between, like, you know, black versus white fights specifically. It feels like we're not up right now.
Do you think that's algorithmic, though, or do you think that's the culture in general?
I wonder, because I think so much of the culture now is driven by algorithms. So like Jake Paul does not become Jake Paul, the now legitimate sort of like boxer, if we're calling it that, without the algorithm already doing a lot of service for him. You know what I mean? Like even if he was a great boxer, he never went through any of the traditional routes, so the algorithm had to help him skip a bunch of steps.
I think we don't have to say he is a great boxer.
I don't think that he is, but I also don't think he's as shitty as everybody wanted him to be.
I think he is. I think it's just like, boxing has become like, you know how Formula One is just for like the rich teams, and then they just like, they cheat the way that, because they're all so rich or whatever.
Yeah.
It feels like that's the same thing with boxing. We're like, he's not a legitimate fighter.
No, I don't think he's ever going to contend for like heavy. You know what I mean? Like, I know the difference between like the scales to some extent. But I'm saying that on average, there are very few people who are even competent enough to be in the ring with Mike Tyson at any age. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, he's at least competent enough to not die.
I mean, yeah, if you're talking about in like versus me and you or like some nigga on the street, yeah, but. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. I think we wanted him to just be a motherfucker on the street, and he's not that. And that's the sort of like frustration or confusion of it.
I mean, I guess I hate him. I just recently got in a conversation with him about him recently, and I didn't even realize how deep it ran, but I was like, I hate that. I think it's bad content, everything that he does.
Let me be clear, because now I feel like we're not on the same page. I'm not a fan.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. All right. I thought you were like, quit picking on my friend. Okay. That makes more sense.
I thought I made that sort of established that just from my personality.
Yeah. But that's why I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
I can't say that you've ever offended me more by presuming that I was a fan of Jake Paul. Well, I am not. I think that he's a very, very bad person who I wish desperately every single time gets his jaw broken off by the person he's challenged.
That's the fun.
That
you
said, ratio wise, he will not stop winning, even against motherfuckers that I'm rooting for desperately to murder him.
Right.
And so, yeah, I it just stinks. It is my point.
You know what I like about this podcast is that you and I constantly push the thresholds of being offended by each other. And I think that's a fun dynamic.
I do too. Yeah.
I think that's what people tune in for every week, to see how we can hurt each other's feelings.
Yeah, we hurt each other and we come back giggly somehow afterwards.
Yeah, it's still fun. I mean, you guys don't know this. Before this, Langston said something very hurt. He called me an anti-hero at best. And you know what? It was hilarious. I can't help that. Does it fuck with my personal narrative and how I go about living my life? Yeah, I'm going to have to take a walk and like think about some shit or whatever. But
that's his business. Once we shut down,
we're here for the
recording stops.
We're emotionally stunted and we're here for the laughs. Let's get into this. Let's get into this email.
Let's deep dive.
And stop offending each other on purpose. But it'll happen. this email, I won't say the name. It doesn't say don't say my name. This is from Cord. Don't know. What kind of name that is. It says
the Cord I knew growing up was a person named Cordero.
Right.
I don't know if that's a common thing or if that was just Cordero, but Cordero was Cord.
Okay. Oh, I have one question and I just want to throw this out there. We don't have to get too deep. Do you know more Black or Hispanic Carloses? Or Italian, I mean. I don't know. I don't even know where the name's from.
Carloses. Damn.
It's mostly Black people, right?
I would say it's like 2/3 Latino and then like 1/3 Black people.
I think it's the other way around for me. But I only know like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I know like 4. I know 3 and one of them is Black and then 2 Latinos.
You know what? I only know 3, but it's the opposite. 2 are Black and 1's Latino.
I will say I was very surprised at my first Black Carlos, but then it became much more common in a way that I didn't anticipate at all, where I was like, oh, shit.
Okay. It does feel like it's ours. Right?
Really?
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. Listen, this is just a gut feeling.
I don't feel that way.
You don't feel like it feels. You don't feel like we would, like, if you put 100 Black people in a room with a typewriter till the end of time. I don't know how that thing goes, but I'm saying it feels like a name we would have made up at some point.
First of all, I like that you build on that monkey's typing analogy.
It felt wrong. It didn't feel good. As soon as I started saying it, I was like, I don't think this is doing what you want it to.
Yeah, to be clear, it's the analogy where you go, if you put I think it's like 100 monkeys and a typewriter in a room for however long, they'll eventually like write a script. Like they'll eventually find their way into like a real story.
Well, you know what? Growth is about about change and acknowledging your faults. So I'm sorry. I didn't.
Anti-hero at best.
Yeah. I was trying to impress you all and I conflated Black people with monkeys. Who among us? Who among us?
But to the larger question, what were you saying? I think
Carlos feels like a Black person.
Oh, Carlos
name.
Just for me has always rang very Latino. And then the shock of Black sort of like opened my eyes to a new world, I would say. But maybe I'm just ignorant. Maybe there's a world of Carloses out there that I haven't experienced yet.
Well, here's what I'm saying. The two Black Carloses I know are from California. Maybe it's a West Coast thing.
Now, see, that I could see. Right. Because especially in LA, there's so much Latino culture just cooked into LA culture in a way that like almost seems like that. I mean, in some ways, it is almost the primary culture of Los Angeles.
I mean, so, I think of the West in general, like not the primary of the West, but it's like the urban West is very Latino culture, so much so that like when I go to Philly and nobody's talking about tacos, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Right. Yeah, it's just everything has a little bit to do with being Latino out here.
Everybody drinks margaritas.
Yeah.
I was at a bar in Cleveland and they had Patron girls, Patron bottle girls, where they give out, in Pittsburgh. This was in Pittsburgh years ago. They had Patron girls where they were giving out Patron. And I was with somebody, I was on tour, so I was with somebody from California. And we were like, hell yeah, free Patron. And the girls were like, nobody drinks this out here because nobody knows what tequila is. We can't even give it away.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I was like, this town is trash.
I was going to say, is that a Pittsburgh problem?
That might be just a Pittsburgh problem.
Yeah, that seems like a real Pittsburgh issue.
Yeah, it was. I was like, I got to get out of here. But also, give me that free Patron because that shit, you know, that's a $9 shot.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
We're calling upon you because we have new merch. We have very exciting merch that we are now selling, and it's fucking great. We love it so much.
It's sleek. It's sexy.
Come on. You want to tell them what we have?
Yeah, we have 3 different types of hats, which is really fun. We have a 2-tone hat, an alien dad hat, the traditional logo in black and khaki. Then we have the enamel pin with the alien who has a koofy on it, says, "My mama told me." And then we have t-shirts that say, "Proud little mama," which is who you are.
Yeah, You can buy the merch now. Go to mymamatoldme.merchtable.com. It's a brand new name, but it's the same old merch. And we would love for you to get some if you haven't got it already. And we want you to have all the sweet stuff. So get it.
Anyways, let's get to this email, huh?
Yeah, please.
We've done enough. So from Cord, Cordero, Corday, we don't know your name. The title, Jamaican Rat Soup.
Mm-mm.
Come on, you had us at rat. You had us at Jamaican rat.
Oh, yeah, soup.
Yeah. Soup. Something they eat. Hey, Langston and David. Big fan of the show. Been listening for years. It's better now that you added David so Langston doesn't have to carry all the weight of being funny and hosting. Yeah. I would like to make it clear, I think Langston is both funny and hosting still. That was...
I don't think it was a slight. I think that was a nice thing to say. It just felt very... It felt like a very clinical assessment of what changed, where it's like... I'm glad you're here because Langston had too much work to do before. And it's like,
That's fair. Yes. I think that's reasonable.
It's 100% true.
I wanted to be clear. I will not be doing any research going forward, but I'm here. I got the jokes, baby.
You got the jokes. And we appreciate those jokes very much.
That's all I ever wanted. All right. Here is my conspiracy theory. My mother-in-law is Jamaican, like from the bush.
Okay.
Country backwoods Jamaican. And that's your own issue. And she is always telling stories of local herbs and cures that they use there. She is always telling me how her granddad used to tell her which herbs to find and where to find them. Yesterday, she told me that a Jamaican cure for asthma was to catch a wild rat, boil it, and eat the soup from the boiled rat. Do you know about this? Thanks, guys. P.S. This is my third attempt to get my conspiracy theory on the show. Just saying. Well, you had us until the P.S.
Yeah, I didn't care for that P.S. one bit. But what do you want from us, Gord? It's a busy program.
Quite honestly, you're lucky that we read that P.S. late and that we don't read the whole thing. Because if we read it, you would not have been picked. So how about that?
To the question of boiling wild rat, and wild feels very high intensity word there, because what is a wild rat?
How many rats aren't wild?
Yeah, there are. I just assume we're not talking about like grass-fed free range rats. We're talking about real fucking rats. That's how they get that way, is by being out there doing rat stuff.
You catch rats. I never heard of like a rat farm. Right.
And I think there are some there used to be those kids at school. I knew like two kids at school growing up who had like a pet rat, and you're always looking at them weird because it's like, bro, that's an outdoor animal. That's not even meant to be.
In my lower self-esteem years, I dated a woman who had a pet rat.
Yeah, and they be like, they'll train them a little bit, and
that's fucking weird. It was not trained. It had that gross worm, and I pretended to be cool with it, and then after a while, I had to look at my heart and be like, "What are you doing?" No,
wait. So when you say not trained, she couldn't even like take it out and pet it and shit.
I mean, she could take it out and pet it, but it wasn't like it didn't do tricks. It was just a dirty rat.
Yeah.
In your early 20s, you make a lot of bad moves.
No, yeah, that's not a girl that I would want to be with, but I respect that was part of the journey that got you to where you are.
I tried it. You know what I mean? You got to try it. Or you don't got to try it, because I did it for you. It's terrible.
It's Jay-Z. Blueprint.
Yeah, come on. Hove did that, so hopefully.
You ain't got to go through that.
I will say off the top, I never heard of this in my life. This sounds I guess somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew that people might possibly eat rat. Listen, I've grown up in like, I never grown up, rats have always been contaminated to me.
Yeah, I mean, rats were a meal of, and I don't mean this in a pejorative way, I just thought they were a meal of desperation. That like, it was like, oh, we are a nation war-torn and struggling to, you know, feed ourselves, therefore we eat rat. We don't just do that out of like part of the culture.
Right. Like, I don't get the feeling that there are cultures where rat is a primary dish. Now, I don't know. I just don't feel like rodents in general, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Like, nobody's eating, like, mouse salad or anything.
No, yeah, I don't know that to be a common thing anywhere.
Except for those big ones. What are the big ones? Kookaburras?
Oh, capybaras, yeah.
Capybaras? That actually looks like it could have some good meat.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but that just the weasel family ain't exactly hidden for me where I go like, num, num, num.
And by that, he means Jamaicans.
I'll say this. While I did not know anything about this, I certainly had no previous knowledge of people eating rat as like part of a dish. It's especially interesting to me that this is medicinal. This isn't like what Court is describing is not just that like, oh, you eat rat because it's a secretly delicious dish.
Right, like you're turned 18, like, you're a man now. Eat some rat.
Have some rat soup with your dad. They're saying that like this is meant to cure asthma.
That's a crazy one, too. Yeah. You can't breathe, chop up that rat.
Come on, man. Boil that rat for about 2 hours and and we'll cure a thing that we thought was permanent for most people. I think that's my understanding of asthma.
Stuff like this, though, it only has to work one time, right? Like, there was one guy who was breathing funny. He ate some rat, and then now it's like, we eat rats.
Yeah. It's like how they cured that dude's cancer that one time with, like, the weird, I can't remember what it was, but they, like, did a bunch of blood transfusion things, and then they cured them. They literally cured cancer with one person, but they don't really know how to replicate it. And, you know, it's like, well, we technically cured cancer.
So right.
We're an advanced society. And it's like, no, you just helped one guy and the rest of us are.
Also, no bodies are goofy, man. Maybe one guy ate some rat and his asthma went away. I can't guarantee that those two things were connected, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we literally, Black Plague wiped out, I think it's something like 50 million people on the planet. It like literally killed off like an entire like major percentage of human life on this planet. And it was all started and spread by rats.
No, we know they're dirty. They're dirty. And I advocate for exotic meats heavily. Everybody knows that. I stand for exotic meats. But rats, they stay in the garbage.
Yeah, they're a filthy, filthy bunch. So for this to somehow be a substitute for herbs, I'm going to say that's a bad plan.
I'm not going to say that
it doesn't exist. I'm certainly not going to belittle the culture that sort of recognizes it, maybe in the same way that like we eat pig's feet. And there's no real logic to that anymore.
But we're not saying that you're not going to have sickle cell if you eat pig's feet.
Yeah. I don't know that we've made the full connection yet.
Yeah, the research is still, the results are inconclusive.
I don't know that science has put pig's feet plus your mouth equals sickle cell. But I do recognize that what you're saying, that maybe we're causing bigger problems in ourselves and we see that. But that said, I think rat might just be that for them where it's like, oh, you're holding on to a thing that like is somebody did instead of just being honest and being like, we shouldn't do that. That's not helping.
Because also the smaller the sample group, the less I believe in the you know what I'm saying? Like, right. if it's just like, it's not even Jamaicans as the whole who say this. It's this like one small backwater town that says it, then I'm like less inclined. Like if it was the whole nation, then I'd be like, okay, well maybe let's check it out.
Well, this is where I think you're gonna get some troubling news in the chat. No. Olivia sent us that this is a popular Jamaican folk remedy.
Uh-huh.
The recommended treatment for whooping cough was rat soup. Whooping cough? I never know how to quite say it.
Not me.
Whooping household rats were safe from the soup pot. It was the brush rat. found in cane fields provided a cure for whooping cough. Some believe bush rat soup is the stuff of legend, but others swear by the use and curative properties of rat soup.
Well, now I'm curious.
So it does sound like in Jamaica specifically, there is a distinction between rats that would be digging through your trash and rats that are truly like out in the wilderness ass rats.
Right. I mean, also, yo, though, I Googled rat soup. I don't like it.
Do they like leave the head in or something? Is it something weird?
It's just not cool.
Uh-oh. Let me get in there. Oh, yeah. Why is it, why is it meatballs?
No, that's a Halloween recipe. You got to keep going.
Oh, they just put the whole body in. That's terrible.
Yeah, they don't even, you got to cut them tails off at least.
Yeah, they don't even, for our listeners at home, they're not even cutting the heads or the tails. They're not like separating the meat so you forget what you're eating. It's just a whole ass rat and his friends at the bottom of a bowl. And that's...
It's a tough look. I mean, that being said, listen, I'm all for alternative medicine. I don't love big pharma either. That being said, maybe keep your inhaler on hand.
I would say that there's maybe a fair argument to say rat soup can't be worse than us than like Oxycontin. You know what I mean? Like, right. I think there's probably the violence that these drugs have done to us is as substantial, if not more dangerous, than whatever rat soup could do to you. That said, there are other ways of solving your asthma issue, and you should maybe explore those before you eat a whole ass rat in juice.
Although, if it's a bush rat, that seems fine. I mean, just don't do the rat, like the rats in my alley. You know what I'm saying?
If you at home are thinking I should eat a New York rat, you are wrong, and you won't be here for much longer.
Those are the worst rats. Urban rats in general are terrible, but New York is the worst rats, right?
They just don't give a fuck in a way that is exceptional to everybody else's rats.
Ow, like you wouldn't see that pizza rat in another city.
Yeah, no, it's. Like, there were times walking home in Brooklyn at night where, like, I was scared because it was trash day and they all got lined up on the side. Oh. And I just knew every, like, 20 steps, a rat was going to run in front of me. And
you ever seen, like, in New York where somebody jostles a pile of trash or some shit and they all are run? That shit is.
Yeah.
That shit's awful.
No, yeah, I don't. New York rats feel exceptional. And there are other cities I've lived in where the rat situation was crazy, but New York just does it different.
Shout out to LA for not really having rats.
Yeah. Not a lot.
The only time I ever seen them is like downtown LA and rarely.
I see them, but I don't see them like that. You know what I mean? Like when I see one, I'm like, oh shit.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Exactly. I didn't know this was this kind of neighborhood.
They're true. The population is growing, though, because I never used to see them in Denver. Now I've been seeing them. And pigeons, like.
You think the pigeon population is spiking where you are?
I think somehow we're becoming more urban of a city. I was on a walk the other day. I seen black Hebrew Israelites. So if you have... That's the three marks of a real city.
Those are the three infestations you got to look out for is rat, pigeon, and of course, black Hebrew Israelite.
It was funny because where I saw them too, they were downtown on the mall and I was like, yo, there's only Mexicans over here. What are you thinking?
And who do you call for black Hebrew Israelite? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Rats and pigeons. Exterminator, that's in the phone book.
Okay, I'm not. We already got a target on our back. I'm not going. You're going to make Carlos come out.
He's okay. He's all right.
He's a lot of things. All right, not one.
Olivia goes on to say that bush rats are considered to be clean animals, and according to members of rat eating communities, I don't like the way that that's put, their meat is said to be tasty and healthy. CDC, quote unquote, still working on it. Yeah, they're not working on anything,
which is why we got to get a supplement.
We do. I think we gotta sort of find an angle that isn't really tapped into, right?
Right.
Like, I don't think we go for like make your dick hard.
We gotta stay away from dicks.
Oh no, I think it's not hard. I think we want like a semi hard. Like our pill, we can give you a pill that'll keep you semi hard for like
days.
Yeah, for like 12 hours.
What is that for?
I don't know, but I think if you got like a cool photo shoot coming up and you don't,
right.
You got to take your pants off. You want to be a little almost there. Yeah,
you want that like you know what I know what you mean. 3/4.
Yeah, you want that shit to be like popping, but you don't really want to have to like explain yourself to anybody.
Like you don't want to be necessarily flexing, but they need to know there's muscles under the shirt.
Come on. Yeah, I think if we could nail that supplement market, I think we've got a big profit coming our way.
Okay, see, I was thinking we go for thickener. Everybody's worried about increasing length.
Oh.
We make a girth supplement.
Girth supplement.
Yeah.
Okay. You sitting on a fucking doorknob now. Okay. David don't want it to get longer. He just want that thing thick.
Bah! Wide body. Oh, I think we did it.
I think, yeah, I'd say that's fair. Can you tell the people where they can find you, what cool shit you got going on?
Cool Guy Jokes 87 on Instagram. I'm shooting my own special with my own money May 18th at Dude IDK Studios in Denver. Limited seating. The link is going to go up on my Instagram soon. But yeah, it's a tiny, tiny room, very limited seating. But I would love for you to come out and watch me record the best hour of stand-up comedy I've ever done. It probably clock at like 52 to 58, but who's checking? You know what I'm saying?
That's a gorgeous number, and I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen a big chunk.
Oh, yeah,
chunk,
you saw a little chunk, yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny, man, and I'm excited to see what you do with it. As always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman, all the platforms. I ain't choosy. Come on over. The water's fine. And, oh, come see us live May 5th at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, 7 p.m. Get all those tickets at NetflixIsAJokeFest.com. And then... also, check out Everybody's in L.A., John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A. It's going to be on Netflix May 3rd, May 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. That's, I think, correct. And last and most important, if you want to send us your own drops, if you want to send us your own conspiracy theories, if you want to tell us about your personal recipe for rat soup, send it all to mymamapod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Buy the merch. mymamatoldme.merchtable.com. There's nothing else to tell you. I'm sure of it. Bye, bitch.
Oh, God, it's so good. So good. So good and tasty.
Motherfucking mini episode. Mini episode. Motherfucking mini episode. Motherfucking mini episode. Mini episode. Motherfucking mini episode.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.